Good morning, Christ Church. Hey, we had an awesome golf outing yesterday. Just want to thank everybody for that. It was a beautiful day. It was a great time. All the money we raised is going to Second Harvest of Lorain County. Yeah. So we'll get the final numbers on that, but it looked like a great turnout. And I had an amazing team. Yeah. We're Sophia. We came in second place. Yeah. We came in second place. I had a special role. I was more of a hype man or completely. But I want you to know there is a formal investigation underway because I fear the first place team, there was some nefarious activity. So we'll have the official results in time to come. But let me say a prayer for us and we'll get in the message today. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have confidence in your love even when life is difficult and painful. Father, I pray that the fog of pain and suffering, Lord, that your spirit could work in a special way in each of our hearts to know, Lord, that there is future glory and that it will be, the present pain will be outweighed by the future that you have for us. Father, I pray your spirit could just seal that truth into our hearts today and it could give us strength in the uncertainty and difficulty of life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been in this sermon series, and we've been talking about these ideas of how do we know if God loves us? And especially, how do we know if God still loves us when we fail, when we mess up, when we disappoint ourselves, when we disappoint others? And thankfully, the Bible has a lot to say about this topic in Romans chapter 8. So we've been working through it, looking at this, thinking about this, and today we're going to continue to do it. And when I was in eighth grade middle school football, I had a coach named Coach Cooper. And he's kind of like everything you would expect an eighth grade football coach to be. He was kind of crabby, you know, yelled at you a lot, you know, just kind of very, very much that way. But one of his key things is he would fire you at any point. You know, you made a bad play, you gave him attitude, then he would, you're fired. Remember that? He would fire you. And then, you know, you kind of had to like go take a walk of shame and sit down. But then he would typically rehire you back to that. But you were always being fired and rehired through a practice or after a game. And it really didn't build your confidence that much, you know, because you're kind of walking on eggshells. Any mistake, you could be fired and you'd be humiliated a little bit. And there was sort of this insecurity that comes with that. And I think many times we might have that sort of picture of God in our minds, that we have to live our life walking on eggshells spiritually, because at any point, God might turn his back on us. God might fire us. God might say, you've gone too far, I'm done with you. And I think one of the times that really makes us question that the most, and one of the times where we're most vulnerable to believe God operates that way, is when we are going through times of pain, when we are going through times of suffering. And I don't know if in your difficult moments when you went through a hard breakup or when you lost a job or when you got a bad diagnosis or when something really hard with your family was happening, I don't know if in those moments you've ever found in your heart questioning, does God love me? Is God really good? Is God actually for me? And if he is, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? How can God love me and I go through these times of pain or suffering? And those moments can be really, really confusing to us. And I know I've been confused by those moments, and I'm willing to bet that you have too. But thankfully, the book of Romans and Romans chapter 8 has some incredible wisdom and truth that we need to hear about this. And here's the idea that I want you to take home today, that in the fog of pain, in the fog of difficulty, which that's to me what pain and suffering do, it makes a fog. It's hard to see clearly. And it's especially hard to see God clearly. But in the fog of pain, there's something you and I desperately need and something that God wants to give us. And it is the clarity of his Spirit. The clarity of his Spirit at work in you and me. And I want to show you what that looks like today. So we're going to pick up at Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 18. Now, there's a lot of text that I want to work through today. So we're going to kind of take a couple verses at a time and see how much time I have left at the end, you know? So we'll see what happens here. But verse 18, it says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us." Now, this line right now, right here, really sets us up to understand so much about everything Paul's going to say. And notice what he's saying. Look, the present time, that right now in your life and my life, there are difficult times. Amen? Is anybody's life here just perfect and always goes according to plan? If you are, I'd like to invite you up right now and tell us everything that you do. But if you find yourself in difficulty, if you find yourself in pain, if you find yourself in disappointment, then this is for you. And Paul is speaking to us. He's saying, I want you to know that in this present time of suffering and difficulty, which we will experience, he says, I want you to know they will be outweighed by the glory that's to be revealed to us. This is one of the hardest verses to believe in all the Bible. You know, people think a lot of the things that the Bible says about Jesus and stuff are the hardest to believe. I believe this might be the hardest verse for us and people like us to actually believe. That in other words, all the pain in your life will be like a feather on a scale compared to the massive weight of glory that God has for you. It's hard to believe. Because I know we've all been through some real ugly pain. Some real hard pain that didn't make sense to us. And how could it be outweighed? And that's what Paul is calling us to believe. Now, this teaches us a couple of important things. Number one, it shows us that experiencing pain and suffering does not mean that God has failed us or that God doesn't love us. See, I want you to have a clear picture of this in your mind. See, so many people inside the Christian faith and outside the Christian faith, they struggle to believe in God because of the presence of pain and suffering in our lives and in the world. And so many people are like, how can God be this great God that you're talking about? And there can be so much difficulty in life. But I want you to see, Paul doesn't see those as a contradiction. Paul doesn't see that as a problem. Paul says, here's what you need to know. The glory that's coming will outweigh it. And Paul doesn't see difficulty and pain and suffering as evidence that God doesn't love you and that God isn't for you. And church, I just want you to know today, when you're going through a hard time, don't think for a second that God's love has failed you. When you are deep in pain and you're in the fog of it and it's confusing, I want you to know that does not mean God has left you. That does not mean God has turned his back on you. That does not mean God is looking at you and saying, well, you've made me miserable for a while, so I'm going to make you miserable for a while. No. Paul says, no, we can't understand it in those ways. He says, but here's what we need to know. The most important thing about our present pain, the most important thing to know about it, is that it will be outweighed by the glory that God is moving your life and my life into. Now, I don't know about you, but I enjoyed watching a lot of the Olympics, and it seemed like every time I turned it on, it was swimming. Anyone? Like, every time I was like, you know, which, swimming's cool. And I saw, and what I noticed in swimming, how close those races are is unbelievable, isn't it? Like, without the little graphics on the screen, I would have no idea who won. Some of you know what I'm saying? The little, anyway. And because it's literally fractions of a second. I mean, that's how tight these races are. So I watched a bunch of these races, and I was like, oh, this is incredible. I mean, the difference between first and second place is like literally a blink of an eye. Just unbelievable. And then I saw this one race. It was the women's 1500 meter. And this woman, you may know the name, Kate Ledecky, representing the U.S. of A., baby. Let's go. Let's go. Representing the USA, 1500 meter. She won by 10 seconds, which if you were watching any of these races, it might have well has been 2 years, because she was kind of sitting at the end. They couldn't even get the other competitors in the frame. That's how far ahead she was. Like, unbelievable domination. And that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do. And, and she absolutely just won. Now, if you were to think about that moment where she's sitting at the edge of the pool, she's 10 seconds ahead, and you were to think about all, and if she would take a moment and she thought about all the pain that she endured to be able to do that, all the practices that she went to, she didn't want to go to. All the time she was in the pool and her body was cramping, or she was dehydrated, or she was sick and she was swimming. All of that pain, right? Because to be at that level, she had to willingly embrace a lot of pain. Amen? And I bet at that moment, that pain was completely outweighed by whooping the rest of the world by 10 seconds. We even got to partake in that glory. It was outweighed. And this is what Paul is saying to us, that what God has for you, it will not compare to the most difficult days and moments of our lives. And I know that's hard to believe. That's so hard to believe. But Paul is saying, this is how good and strong God's love is for us. And God's future is that bright. And then he goes on, verse 19, and he says this, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." I know there's a lot in these verses, but just stick with me here. "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoptions as sons, the redemptions of our body. For in this hope we were saved." Now hope that is seen is not hope for who hopes for what he sees. "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Now, there's a lot in these verses, but let me try and draw out these ideas. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying we're all in this in-between time right now. God is at work in our lives. That's what Paul has been saying. The Spirit is at work in our life. If you know God, if you have committed your life to Jesus Christ, you are on this incredible journey with God. But you're in the in-between. You're in the place where you're in the middle of the story, if you will. And the middle of the story is always a little bit messy, right? A good movie, it might start out okay, and then it gets really, really messy. And the messier it gets, usually the better ending it has as the mess gets untangled. And this is what Paul's saying. Right now, we live in the mess. We live in this place where we long for God's future that we know is coming, but we're just not there yet. And so here's what Paul is showing us. That number one, we can acknowledge the pain and the frustration of the present. We can acknowledge that. If you're a follower of Christ today, we can say, man, life stinks right now. We don't have to come into church and put on our happy face. We can just put on our real face, amen? We're allowed to do that. We're invited to do that. That we're not saying God isn't good. We're saying we're in the in-between. We're in the mess. And sometimes it's hard, and it's painful, and it's frustrating. And Paul says we can be honest about that. He says, but we can never lose hope of the future that God has. Now, the best way that I think about this idea in these verses is through the story of Jim Stockdale. Jim Stockdale was a prisoner in Vietnam for 8 years. And he endured all kinds of torture, all kinds of difficulty, but he never broke his commitment to his country, and he went through it in a very noble manner. And when people would interview him afterwards, he eventually got let out and came back to the States and was reunited with his family and all these good things. But when he would talk about that experience, he would say kind of these paradoxical ideas. And this to me is what Paul is saying to us. He would say, you can never lose hope that you will prevail in the end. He said, as a prisoner in the Hanoi Hilton, I could never lose hope that I would prevail in the end. But he said, but at the same time, I also had to confront the brutal facts of what I was facing. Now, these sound like different ideas. It sounds like you have to pick one or the other, but he says you can't pick one or the other. You have to face both. And one interviewer, he asked him, he said, who were the people that didn't make it? And he said, they were the optimists. They were the people that said, we're going to get out in Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving came, they didn't get out. We're going to get out in Christmas. Christmas came, they didn't get out. We're going to get out in Valentine's Day. I don't know if anybody actually said that. We didn't get out. We're going to get out in Easter. And they didn't get out. And he said, what happened was, they died of a broken heart. And the guy said, well, that's kind of confusing to me, Jim Stockdale, because I thought you are being optimistic. And he said, I'm optimistic that it will work out in the end, but I'm realistic about what we're facing today. And I think that's the perspective that Paul is giving us. Here's what you need to know about your life. It is going to work out. It is, and when you're in the thick of it, God's purpose is going to be accomplished. But it may not be how you think it should be. You with me? See, so many times our faith is not actually in God. Our faith is what we think God should do. And then when God doesn't do what we think he should do, we say, well, God isn't trustworthy. No, what's not trustworthy is our assessment of what God should do. You with me on this? What's not trustworthy is us trying to boss God around. You with me? But what we can trust at the end of the day is whatever God decides and whatever God does, it will be for your good. It will be for your good. And just like a good heavenly father, he knows what's actually good for you. He really does. My kids want to do all kinds of weird things that aren't good for them. They want to eat weird stuff. They want to do, you know. But and as you guys say, I know you want that right now, but I want to give you what you really need. And so there's a sense where I can look and I can say, yeah, this is hard. This isn't, you know, I don't need to live in denial. I can face it, but I face it with the ultimate hope in God. And that's what Paul is calling us to today. And he said, sometimes we need to learn to wait and to wait patiently. Can I ask you, how good are you at waiting? Is it fair to say we're all terrible at it? Any ability that we had to wait, Amazon Prime has ruined it. Is that fair? One click buying, if we had any capacity, it's gone now. One click buying, it's all gone. It's hard to wait. But I think part of a healthy spiritual life is actually growing the discipline of waiting. See, when you are in the really, really difficult, here's what you need to do. You need to give God more time to work out his purpose in your life. What happens is we're in the thick of the fight and we are making judgments about God's ability to guide our life. And you know what? We're acting prematurely. And we need to learn to wait. And we need time for God's wisdom and goodness to unfold in our life. God doesn't always microwave every meal that he gives to us. I've told you, church, he believes in slow and low. He likes to make briskets. Amen. I'm not going to get on a tangent about that as much as I want to. But we need to grow our spiritual ability to wait. Now, I just want to give you a little challenge about waiting. There is a great book called Dopamine Nation, and it's all about kind of our unhealthy relationship with dopamine. But one of the points in the book is that when we have to experience any kind of waiting in life, you know how most of us deal with it? Scrolling on our phone. There's any openness minute in my life or any time where I need to wait in some form or fashion, what do? We go to our phone and we scroll and we numb ourselves. And I just want to challenge you, pay attention to how much you do that this week and try to do something different. Try to wait in a different way. Think about a scripture. Have a moment of prayer. Call someone that you've been meaning to call and say an encouraging word. Just find a different strategy to wait, and maybe God will grow our capacity for it. Now, here's these next verses. Verse 26, then Paul says this. Here's the good news of this. In this frustration, in this difficulty, we have help. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Everyone just say, praise God. He helps us. So yeah, it's hard, man. We're in the in-between. It's hard. It's hard to trust God when life is spinning out of control. But you don't have to do it all alone. God really will help you. That's what Paul's helping us to see. Yes, we're weak sometimes. Some days, the amount of faith I bring to the situation is way less than it needs to be. But you know what? The Spirit helps me in those moments. Sometimes the fear is too much. But Paul says, but the Spirit will help you in your weakness. Sometimes we're so overwhelmed by it all. But Paul says, but the Spirit is with you and will help you in your weakness. He says, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This is so encouraging to me. You ever had a life situation where you didn't know how to pray? I don't even know what I need to ask for right now. I'll be honest with you, church. I've been in hospital rooms with people. I've been in living rooms with families, and I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what I should ask. I didn't know how to ask. And you'll have that. But here's the good news. The Spirit is helping you out. The Spirit's saying, Father, what he meant to say was... I know it came out like that, but this is what he really meant. This is what she really meant. Church, I'm telling you, that's good news. Your prayer's constantly getting edited. All those grammatical, theological mistakes, the Spirit's correcting. He's got his red pen out. He's like, nope, wrong word here, but let me put the right one in. He's helping us. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I just love this so much, that the Spirit whether you're even trying to or not, he is aligning your life with God's will. This is what it made me think. I am horrible with directions. Without my Maps app, I cannot get anywhere. I can't even get to my own kitchen, you know? All right, that's a little exaggeration, but I'm really bad with directions. And even with my apps map, sometimes, you know, I get in the zone when I'm driving and I'll just pass up the road even though it's telling me exactly. Anyone else or am I really lost here? Yeah. But what does it do? It recalculates. Said you missed this turn, but there's another turn 500 feet ahead. And it'll still get you to where you need to go. And this is what Paul is saying to us. He's saying we're driving through life. And let's be honest, a lot of times we don't know where we're going. And we don't know what turn to make. And maybe we know the right turn and we miss it. Well, is it all lost at that point? Paul says no. Because the Spirit's recalculating. He's like, okay, well, we're going to go this way. And he's aligning our lives with God's purpose. He's bringing us to exactly where God wants us to be. And maybe for some of us today, we worry so much about living our lives in God's will. And I want you to know the Spirit is getting you there. The Spirit is guiding you there. And there's hope and there's encouragement in that. He says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Church, if you're going through a rough time, you need to memorize that verse. And you need to say it to yourself again and again. All things. See, this is, again, one of the hardest verses to believe in all of Scripture. Those days that were so dark in your life, even those God will use for good. Say, Chet, well, how is he going to do that? I have no idea. But that's why he's God. If I had an idea, he wouldn't be God, right? That's part of what we have to accept here. Our minds, they're not that great. God is the Almighty. And he can do it. And he will do it. And he is doing it. And so all the things that are happening in our life, good and bad, God, he's guiding them towards a purpose. But get this, it's a purpose, did you see it? For your good. For your good. And for my good. He goes, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, what these verses mean here is that God is not accidentally at work in your life. He is purposefully at work in your life. Like sometimes I will wander outside and I'll go and I'll look at like our flower beds and I'll see like, oh man, there's a lot of weeds right now. And then I'll be like, I'm just going to pull out a couple here. Anybody do that kind of thing? Or, you know, I just kind of, but I'm a little bit purposeless in those moments. And then sometimes we'll have like days where we're like, all right, today we are getting this place in shape, you know? And we've got a plan, and we've got the right resources allocated, mulch is being dropped off, whatever. We're ready to go. There's an intentionality behind it. And what Paul is showing us is God is not casually at work in his life, in your life. God's not just like showing up and be like, oh man, there's some weeds in your life. I'm just going to like pull this one here. No, God is invested in your life. God has a plan. God has thought about this. He's crossed every T. He's dotted every I. He is not coming to this in a nonchalant way at all. He's coming to this with the utmost commitment and seriousness and thinking and planning and investment. And so here's what Paul is saying to us. He said, if God has started anything in your life, he is going to see it through to the end without question. And do you know what the end is? The end is glory. The end is all the weight and junk of this world. We get to shed. We get to be fully made new. We get to experience the greatness and the goodness of God. And here's what Paul is saying. The Spirit will help you to trust that that is true in your life. And today I just want to speak to some of you that you're in a dark moment, you're in a difficult moment. I want you to trust the purpose of God today. I want you to open your heart to the Spirit's influence in your life and allow him to confirm these truths on your heart, because we need him. I don't have to know how everything's going to work out, but here's what I do know. God is going to accomplish his purpose in your life and in my life, and it is going to be a good purpose. You with me on this, church? Now, when I was younger and I went to Cedar Point, one of the premier rides at that point, I know there's a lot more rides now, was the Magnum. You know this ride? I still think the Magnum is an awesome ride. But I remember going there maybe like as a younger kid, and I remember watching the Magnum go up that hill, and then sometimes it would get stuck there. Anybody experience that? And I've always been a little bit afraid of heights. But I always, still wanted to go on the roller coaster. But every time you would clink your way up that hill, clink, 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 they've smoothed those out a lot more. I would always be worried, am I going to get stuck at the top and have to deal with all these heights? Because I can close my way up to the top and just get it done. You know what I'm saying? But if I got to hang out there for a while, I can only talk like this for so long before it gets weird. And I was worried that on this journey, I was going to get stuck in a place I didn't want to be. Stuck in a place I was afraid of. Stuck in a place that was dangerous. And I just want to encourage you today, even when your life feels stuck, it's not stuck. Because God is the one at work. God is the one moving and guiding and working all things for your good. And the times where you feel the most stuck are the times where you need the clarity of the Spirit the most to be reminded and encouraged in these things. Let me pray for us. Father, help us, Lord. Confirm these ideas in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to, Lord, trust you, even in those moments where we are weak, where we're exhausted, where we're afraid, where we're overwhelmed, and help us just to have that overwhelming conviction of your Spirit's work within us. God, grant us that gift of assurance today. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Q&A.
All right. I actually have a question. I've been thinking about it for a couple days.
We can talk later.
Okay.
No, I'm just
kidding. What's a hype man on a golf team?
You know.
Did you actually swing?
I think we need to lay hands on Tina and pray. It's a very integral role. Amen. Yeah.
All right. Someone wants to know if the Bible should be taken literally.
So, there are different genres of scripture. And just like you read poetry one way, you read history one way, you read a letter one way, we need to understand the genres of scripture and honor those and interpret them according to those. So that may be a little bit what's behind that question, but here's what I do believe is that the scripture is God's revealed truth to us. That I'm going to build my life on the truth of Scripture. Now, again, we've got to be wise in how we understand it and how we interpret it. And each book, there's not a one-size-fits-all approach. That's why we work to understand the history and the context and the genre and the literature. But at the end of the day, here's what I believe. It is God's revelation to us. If I want to know God, if I want to understand him, if I want to know what it really means to be a human being and to connect with the Almighty, then the scripture is the authority on that.
The Psalms say things like, "Are you even awake, God?
Yeah.
And why have you forsaken me? Do you even hear me?" When we think of that and suffering, in our sermon today, is there a way to balance the freedom to struggle in the Psalms and the hope of Romans 8 into our lives here and now?
Yeah. Well, I think that one maybe great lesson from the Psalms is to be honest with God about what you're feeling. I think that it seems to me that many times, you know, we wanna hold back our pain. You know, we want to sort of keep it in, or maybe we're afraid to offend God, or maybe even talking with a brother and sister, we're like, oh, if I tell them what I'm really thinking right now, you know, they might think I'm totally messed up, and they would be right, you know? But the good news is we all are, right? And we all struggle with these things. But the beginning point is being honest with them, processing them, number one, with God, but with good people, too. And then allowing God's Spirit and the good people God's put around you to help guide you back to a place of more truth. See, one of the greatest dangers in pain is isolating yourself and just keeping it all in your own head. And guess what tends to happen? Usually not a lot of good. It usually puts us deeper in that hole. And so we need to bring it out before God, bring it out before others, and start where we start and allow God to bring us to a healthier spot.
This one's a little harder, but it was asked. What would you say to someone who asked the question, how does God love me, when they've experienced a very difficult loss, like a loved one or
yeah.
a baby? Or
yeah. Well, and I think, again, that's why I was kind of saying those verses are some of the hardest to believe. But here's, I think, where the scriptures ultimately point us. I know God loves me because of the cross. The ultimate reality of God's love is that God's Son died and rose again for me. And because of that, I never have to question his love. And so every circumstance of my life, every moment of my life has to be seen through that lens. That this is painful, this is insanely difficult, this is shredding my soul apart, but there is still this foundational reality that even in the midst of this, I am loved by God because Christ went and died and rose again for me. Now, here's what I think the challenge is. Many times, we try to interpret God's love through our circumstances. So we look first to what we're going through, and we're saying, well, God must love me. I got the promotion. The car's running well. The kids are obedient. You know, everything's kind of working out. And then things stop working out because life's hard. And then we're like, oh, well, maybe God doesn't love me. But what we're using is the circumstances to be the compass on God's love instead of the cross. Make the cross the true north and then interpret your circumstances through it.
Okay. The last one, how would you provide encouragement for anyone that has experienced church hurt?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times church hurt is people hurt. And a lot of times it's a couple people that we had bad experiences with. And we need to work through that, you know? And that could be the process of forgiveness just in our own heart. Like, all right, maybe I don't have a relationship with them anymore. I'm not really going to have conversation, but I'm still carrying resentment in my soul. And I need God to cleanse that from me. And I've prayed this to God for myself. I'm like, Lord, I'm resentful. And I know it's wrong. But but I'm still mad. Anyone? And I'm still hurt. And you know what? As soon as you start asking God for help, he will. It may not happen overnight, but he will start to melt that away. So, and I think that, you know, the other thing is, all relationships require risk. And when you're hurt, you no longer want to put yourself out there to be hurt again. And C.S. Lewis, the great C.S. Lewis, he has a great quote about this. He says, you can do that, and you can keep yourself safe, but you think that you're blocking all the pain from your life, but what you're actually doing is hollowing out your soul. And you're actually robbing yourself of the blessings and the grace that God wants to give you. And so we do have to risk again. And we do, you know, let's be wise. Let's learn from those moments of pain, but let's not be captive to them. Because there's a lot of good things in the future ahead if we're willing to walk by faith and to trust the Lord. And people will disappoint us, church people, non-church people. We're broken. But Christ is who our ultimate hope is in. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for these great questions. Thank you for these amazing people, Lord. I pray that you would just enrich us with your love, enrich us with your grace, with your kindness, with your mercy this morning. I pray, Father, where we are just maybe feeling especially weak and vulnerable today, we could just experience new strength in our lives from your Spirit. And I pray it could be a blessing to each of us today. So help us in all this. In Jesus' name, amen.